The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." My broadcast today is the essence of my message for the Jews. Overview. I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Jews. We'll start by noting that we exist to be friends of the Creator directly and not through a rabbi. We will recognize that the true name of the Almighty Creator is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and that He desires us to use that name. We will acknowledge that Orthodox Judaism has been moderately faithful. I will stress that Jesus was a Jew, a Yehudite. I will note that true Jews, true Christians, and true Muslims are all attempting to serve the Creator. I will note that the covenant of Moshe was invalid from the time the Aaron HaBeret, the Ark of the Covenant, went missing when Babylon invaded Jerusalem around 597 BC. It will be stressed that the Torah, the Nevim, the Mishli, the Tehillim are reasonably accurate history books, period. It will be emphasized that legalism, as in adherence to mitzvot, and all the extensions of this is futile and not pleasing to the Creator. We will note that Judaism has blessed the world, but also been hated because of this. We will discuss the birth of Yeshua, the Anointed of Yah. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a consultant and business manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993 when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that He was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Isha Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word, for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. That's Relationship with Creator Radio, one word. So today I'm going to share with you Article 2021-0107, the essence of my message for the Jews. I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Jews. That said, I want to stress this is not a Christian message. It is not intended to draw you into Christianity. It is intended as a fulfillment of your Jewish heritage as a child and servant of the Most High Creator of the heavens and the earth, El Elyon, leading to a reward when you die that will potentially entitle you to a high throne in heaven with the Creator for eternity. I also want to stress that I am not a Christian. I started this journey as a Christian, but I've been thrown out of numerous churches, and after numerous supernatural experiences, many fasts, and much personal revelation, I now regard myself as purely a servant and messenger of the Most High Creator of the heavens and the earth to all human beings, irrespective of your religious beliefs. My message is personal to you as an individual. I want to stress that with great personal effort, you can come to a place of relationship with the Almighty Creator, your Father in heaven, such that you can satisfy his desire to have a deep personal relationship with you. Father desires hitpadut, personal outflowing prayer from you, prayers with intense kavana, sincere feeling or direction of heart towards him, pleases him. This is about you achieving your full potential as a believer for eternity. This is about worshipping only the Almighty Creator and serving him only, and doing this anytime, all the time. For example, you do not have to visit a grave or go to some special place to worship him. If you're really serious, get on your face on the floor before him in your bedroom or your study or wherever and cry out to him for deliverance and for relationship. He will meet with you. He wants to be your friend, and he desires for you to become his friend. Folks, this is so important. If you're listening to this, it doesn't matter whether you are a Yehudite, a Jew, or a Christian, or a Muslim, or a Hindu, or a Buddhist, or a whatever. Father wants a relationship with you. He created this entire universe, this planet, the plants, the animals, the human beings, for one reason only. Because he wanted friends. He wanted people he could talk to, people he could do things with. He didn't want you to become a servant of the synagogue or the mosque or the temple or the church or whatever. He wanted you to become come into a personal relationship with him. So this is about relationship, not slavish observance of minutiae. For direct words from the Almighty to myself, see the Important Insights page on the website. If you're a Jew, particularly an Orthodox Jew. I urge you to listen to this broadcast to the end prayerfully, and then to pray the prayer at the end of the final segment. In all my writings, words and phrases in curly brackets are commonly used words that are incorrect at a level that they should be avoided. My journey with the Almighty has been deeply informed by the rigor of my engineering training. As I said earlier, I have a doctorate in engineering. Folks, I cannot stress enough. You will not reach a place of a high standing in heaven after your death by the minute observance of nitpicky little rules and laws. You will achieve a high standing in heaven if in this life you have a deep relationship with the Almighty Creator, if you talk to Him every day, if you get to a place where you can hear Him clearly, where you enter into dialogue and discussion with Him, where you understand His viewpoint regarding things on the earth, and you pray that into existence, that you are His servant, not through a rabbi or some other third party, you and Him directly. In summary, this broadcast presents a headline review of most facets of my teachings as they apply first and foremost to Jews. I've written a similar article for Christians, and I've also done articles for Muslims and unbelievers. All of these are available on the website. I stress that I'm not highly knowledgeable with regard to Judaism. What follows is my best attempt, based on my limited knowledge and the advice of a friend who came from a Judaic background. And I ask you for grace to the extent that some of what I write may not be entirely technically correct. And in all likelihood, the few Jewish words that, or the Hebrew words that I attempt to express, I probably don't articulate very accurately, so I ask you for grace on that score as well. I've been walking with Father since 1993, as I said in the introduction. I've had a very close friend who was an Orthodox Jew in South Africa. I've worked quite closely, or walked quite closely, with a man who came out of an Orthodox Jewish background in New York in the United States. So I know a little bit about the Jewish view of things. I grew up in a society where there were lots of Jews. Some of my parents' best friends were Jewish. So I respect and I understand at some level the Jewish religion and the Jewish people, and I recognize them as people that are seeking to draw close to Father. Albeit that I suggest for your consideration that there are areas that, like all religions, they're a bit off the mark. So we exist to be friends of the Creator directly, and not through a rabbi or a pastor or a priest or an imam or a whatever. There's fundamentally only one reason that human beings, this planet, this solar system, this universe exist. And that is because the Almighty Creator, who has always existed, was lonely and wanted companions, and specifically friends. Friend of the Creator is the highest achievement in this life, and anything short of that is a misfire, particularly if you've not even attempted to achieve the status with Him. This means that you talk to Him constantly. You know His true name, which is Yah, the eternally self-existing, and you use it exclusively. He talks to you constantly. You know His plans and participate in them. I'll carry on with a few more points in a minute, but I just want to elaborate here for a moment. This thing about relying on other people to hear Father and to speak to Him on your behalf, folks, it's just so off the mark. He wants to talk to you personally every day, all day. He wants you to talk to him personally every day, all day. He wants you to engage in dialogue. You want to ask, he wants you to ask his opinion on things. He wants to guide you in every facet of your life, in your relationships, in your work endeavors, in your ministry. He's not something that you pull out on Shabbat when you go to the synagogue and put away for the rest of the week, or when you do certain practices at the end of the day or whatever. He wants to be part of your life in every possible way, and it's totally possible. He wants that you know his goals and work towards them. His goals in general are different from what organized religion is teaching. Doesn't matter which organized religion we're talking about. And he wants you to pray his will into existence on earth in close consultation with him. Folks, it's so important to understand he can do nothing on earth except that he works through a human being. So why don't you help him by being one of those human beings? If you qualify as a friend at the end of your life, then you qualify to sit on a very high throne in heaven with a glorious resurrected body, great authority, great prestige, and great power. One of the key errors of Judaism, as with Christianity and Islam and other religions, is that individual believers have abdicated their responsibility to have a personal relationship with the Almighty Creator in favor of a relationship with a rabbi, pastor, priest, imam, etc., who is expected to have some level of relationship. This was to some extent valid up to the time of the man Yeshua, as outlined in a minute. But it became invalid in the light of Yeshua's offering sacrifice on the stake around 2,000 years ago. Folks, Noah had a personal relationship with the Creator. So did Moshe, Moses. So did Abram. So did David. There are others, Elisha, Elijah, Samuel. The so-called Old Testament in Protestant terms, or Christian terms, the books that the Jewish people recognize, are full of people who had relationships. Maybe full is an exaggeration, but there are a significant number who had strong relationships with the Creator. Then the true name of the Almighty Creator is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and he desires us to use that name. The name Yah occurs over 7,000 times in the Hebrew books of the assembly, commonly referred to as the Bible. It was frequently rendered by Jews as Adonai, when in fact the Hebrew is Yahweh, Y-A-W-H, the so-called tetragrammaton, which correctly renders as Yahweh, Y-A-H-O-O-E-H, or more commonly Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. When accurately translated, this is Yah, the eternally self-existing, such that the true essential name of the Almighty Creator is Yah. He loves it when we use that name with appropriate esteem. In fact, he has said to me, "If you love me, then call me by my true name." He hates it when people hide his true name with Hashem, G_D, etc. There is a really serious error in most of Judaism that you can't speak out the name of the Almighty in case you blaspheme. No, you can know his name. You can use his name, simply treat it with proper respect. It is not respectful to call Yah Adonai, particularly when the book you're reading says Yah. Having said that, Orthodox Judaism has been moderately faithful. The Orthodox Judaic faith has been faithful in complying with the Isara Ha Debrotto, the Ten Commandments, to a large degree, but has become very legalistic and for the most part has lost true relationship with the Creator, which is the most important thing. There are Jews who have relationships with the Creator. One of the people closest on the planet, closest to the Creator, is a rabbi in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. This is so important to understand, folks. If you're Jewish, you have a good understanding of a lot of important principles, but those have been kind of watered down by 613 mitzvah or whatever it is and rituals and what have you, instead of relationship. But Judaism is an important faith, and one of the reasons why it's so persecuted is because the satanic realm hates it because it continues to be moderately faithful. I'm not going to go out of my way and say it's extremely faithful. There are people who are moderately faithful in all over the world. Doesn't really matter what religion you're talking about. But Judaism has perhaps more than most. The key thing is to seek a deep personal relationship directly with the Creator. And if nobody has ever suggested that to you before, I ask you to take it to heart. And I want to note that the man commonly called Jesus was a Jew, a Yahudite. The man, and he is not God, he is not the Almighty, he is not the Creator, that Christians call Jesus, was a Yahudite, a Jew. And he was 100% human. His true name was Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. He entered into a covenant to fulfill the covenant made by Moses, in a very specific way, discussed in more detail later. This is so important, folks. A vast amount of what Christians believe about Jesus is wrong. It's false, it's inaccurate, it's incorrect. So to some extent, Judaism is correct in rejecting Christianity. However, I have to suggest for your consideration that you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Christianity is founded on some really, really important truths that we'll talk about a bit later. And then it's been corrupted. It's been corrupted for exactly the same reason that the Jews are persecuted, because Satan hates the truth. If Satan can submerge and hide and disguise the truth that the Almighty Creator wants a deep personal relationship with you, he will be well satisfied. He doesn't care what he corrupts. So don't get offended by the errors and the sins of the Christians and the Muslims and the whatevers. Look for the truth they've got, lift that truth out, and draw on it. I've been doing that for 30-odd years. There are many, many articles on my website that will help you with that. Then true Jews, true Christians, and true Muslims are all attempting to serve the Creator. True Yahudites or Jews, true Christians, true Muslims, and certain others are all at some level attempting to serve the Creator in their own ways, and all are in serious error in their own ways. A small percentage of all those in each of these three religions and a few in other religions are in some level of relationship with the Creator. The rest are no better than unbelievers. See the article Demographics of the Kingdom on the website, which is discussed in more detail later. Folks, this is so important. If you draw a circle and you draw a wedge into the center of that circle, where that wedge represents truth and error, and you draw another wedge, where you draw one wedge for the Jews, another wedge for the Christians, another wedge for the Muslims, and another wedge for the others, what you will find is that to a large extent, each of those wedges has its own collection of truths and its own collection of errors, and they don't really overlap much, which is why they fight so much and disagree so much and hate one another so much in so many instances. The other thing to realize is that the vast majority of all people on earth who claim to be believers at some level do not have any sense of relationship with the Almighty, and they are in fact unbelievers. And so you have the unbelievers in each religion fighting with the unbelievers in the other religions and condemning them. And then the believers get caught up in the confusion. Then I want to suggest for your consideration that the covenant of Moshe was invalid from the time that the Aaron Habarit, the Ark of the Covenant, went missing when Babylon invaded Jerusalem around 597 BC. It is vital to recognize that from the time that the Aaron Habarit, the Ark of the Covenant, was hidden away at the time that Babylon invaded Jerusalem in 597 BC, the priesthood became illegitimate as there was no longer an offering for atonement for sin, because it was no longer possible to place the blood of the sacrifice on the Kapparet, the mercy seat of the Aaron Habarit. The man, not God, Yeshua of Nazareth, met this requirement by living a sinless life and by his blood flowing onto the Kapparet and providing a new covenant. Details to follow. The ministry of the rabbis today is equally illegitimate. They have zero mandate to represent Father Yah, just as the Christian priests and pastors and the Muslim imams have no mandate. Moses, Moshe, gave a set of rules for the appointment and the induction and the ordination of the priesthood. It centered around the tabernacle and around the Aaron Habarit. In 597, as the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem, Jeremiah, and some others took the Aaron Habarit and the temple furniture and hid it in a cave under Jerusalem. There was no further access to the Aaron Habarit until it was rediscovered in about 1967. I forget the year. There's details on the website. Then I want to suggest for your consideration that the books that you as a Jew know as the Torah, the Nevim, the Mishlei, the Tehillim are reasonably accurate history books, period. The books referred to as the Torah, the Nevim, the Tehillim, and the Mishlei are reasonably reliable historical texts with some level of inspiration in places, particularly the Mishlei. But they are merely books, and it is wrong to esteem them and in effect worship them, particularly the so-called Torah, the books of Moshe, as Jews do, or as many Jews do. The Talmud contains some inspired writing, but a lot of general human interpretation, some of which is gross error. As a general principle, neither the Talmud nor the 613 mitzvot are relevant to a deep relationship with the Almighty Creator. In my journey with the Creator, the Almighty has kept me from studying either of these. In fact, he's kept me out of Christian Bible school too, for the same reason, because there is a whole lot of carnal rubbish taught by men about the Creator. He doesn't want you to have a relationship with a book. He's not interested in your library. He's interested in you. He's interested in your relationship with him. He's interested in talking to you. He's interested in you talking to him. So legalism, as in adherence to mitzvot and all the extensions of this, is futile, and it's not pleasing to the Creator. We were created to be friends of the Creator and to fellowship with him, not to obey endless, meaningless rules and minutiae. It is not pleasing to Father Yah when people slavishly obey my new tie and debate and argue over the exact meanings and legalities of such legalistic clauses. Father wants to enjoy life with you, not have you slavishly follow meaningless niceties. He really does not care how you wash your hands, or if you wash your hands, or whatever. I'm sorry if that bursts your bubble. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to be his friend. He wants you to care what he thinks. He wants you to ask him what he thinks. He wants you to ask you questions that you're not sure of. He doesn't want you coming to a human being for answers to your questions. He wants you to come to him. You can come to people like me, to spokesmen, prophets, emissaries, apostles, in the early days of your journey to answer questions. But at the end of the day, he wants you to come to him personally. And forget all this nonsense about you might get it wrong. If you get it wrong, so what? Do your best, and if you fall, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and try all over again. He will meet you where you are. He wants to be your friend. So that was the summary of my message, and I'm now going to go into more detail, and we'll look at the body of the article. As stated above, we were created to have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator. If you do not have such a relationship, you're missing the only reason you exist. This is available to every human being alive today, irrespective of religion, race, color, creed, denomination, education, wealth, gender, etc. It is no longer necessary to go through a human intermediary such as a rabbi, priest, pastor, imam, etc. At the very latest, this changed at the point when the man Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, died and ushered in a covenant to fulfill the covenant of Moshe, Moses, which had become inoperable and void. But fundamentally, it was always that way. Noah had a deep personal relationship with Father, so much so that he called the flood into existence, and that Father helped him to build that ship and helped him to collect all of those animals and seeds and books of technical information and all the other things that Noah took with him on that ship. Abraham had a deep personal relationship with Father. Moshe, Moses, had a deep personal relationship with Father. David, to a lesser extent. Samuel, Elisha, Elijah. That's what it's about, folks, is a deep personal relationship with Father. I want to stress that Judaism has blessed the world, but it's also been hated because of this. A significant number of committed Jewish believers have blessed the world and have helped particularly Western civilization to prosper. Because of this, the forces of darkness, the satanic and demonic realm, hate Jews and have gone to great lengths to spread lies about them and persecute them, such as in the Holocaust, where World War II ended up as a war between Christians and, in the process, a war against Jews. At the same time, Jews espouse a number of beliefs that are gross sin and give the forces of darkness the legal right to attack sin. Folks, I don't want to take away from the Holocaust. I've been to the Holocaust Museum in Israel in 1996. Father told me when I spoke at two conferences in Tel Aviv to apologize to the Jewish audience for the crimes that had been committed, to repent and ask for forgiveness to the Jews who attended those two conferences for the wrongs that had been done to them in the name of Jesus, and to recognize that Jesus, Yahushua, was a Jew And there's no way whatsoever that Yahushua incorrectly called Jesus had in any sense or any shape or form any negative aggressive intent towards the Jews. He was a Jew. He came as a Jew to the Jews for the deliverance of the Jews, for the setting free of the Jews, to provide the Jews with a way to have a relationship with their Creator. I can't stress that enough, folks. It's tragic what has been done to the Jews. And at the same time, Jews have been very successful, like the Rothschilds, etc., because of the wisdom that they've got through their relationship with the Creator. But it's at a very limited level. I want to elaborate. I've said earlier, Jesus was a Jew. Correctly, Yahushua was a Yehudite. The man, not God, that Christians call Jesus Christ, was a Jew, a Yehudite, a resident of Judah, Yehuda, and therefore a Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew or Aramaic, and he lived in a Hebrew society. See Matthew, chapter 1 in the Christian Bible, which starts with the genealogy of Yahushua. Matthew 1.1, the book of the genealogy of Yahushua, anointed of Yah, son of David, son of Abram. Abram brought forth Yitzhak, and Yitzhak brought forth Jacob, and Jacob brought forth Yehuda and his brothers. And Yehuda brought forth Peretz and Zerah by Tamar, and Peretz brought forth Hetzron, and Hetzron brought forth Ram. And Ram brought forth Aminadab, and Aminadab brought forth Nashon, and Nashon brought forth Salmon. And Salmon brought forth Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz brought forth Obed by Ruth, and Obed brought forth Yishai. And Yishai brought forth David the sovereign, and David the sovereign brought forth Shelomo by Uriah's wife. And Shelomo brought forth Rehoboam, and Rehoboam brought forth Abiah, and Abiah brought forth Asa. Footnote, his mother was an Amorite. And Asa brought forth Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat brought forth Joram, and Joram brought forth Uzziah. And Uzziah brought forth Jotham, and Jotham brought forth Ahaz, and Ahaz brought forth Hezekiah. And Hezekiah brought forth Manasseh, and Manasseh brought forth Ammon, and Ammon brought forth Yoshiah. And Yoshiah brought forth Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babel. And after the exile to Babel, Jeconiah brought forth Shealtiel, and Shealtiel brought forth Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel brought forth Abihud, and Abihud brought forth Abner, and Abner brought forth Eliakim, and Eliakim brought forth Azor. Footnote, Abner and Abner brought forth, appears in the Dulit Hebrew text. And Azor brought forth Sadok, and Sadok brought forth Akim, and Akim brought forth Eliud. And Eliud brought forth Elazar, and Elazar brought forth Matan, and Matan brought forth Jacob. And Jacob brought forth Yosef, the husband of Miriam, of whom was born Yahushua, who is called Anointed of Yah. So all the generations from Abram to David were 14 generations, and from David until the exile to Babylon to Babel were 14 generations, and from the exile to Babel until the Anointed One were 14 generations. Notice that Yeshua is referred to as the Anointed One. The word Christ is a corruption. It's a meaningless Christian religious word. It's a translation, and a completely inaccurate translation of Messiah, relating to the anointing, relating to the Anointed One that is spoken of by Daniel and others. So Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is correctly Yahushua, the Anointed of Yah. Forget all the English gobbledygook and nonsense, etc. Then the birth of Yahushua, the Anointed of Yah, Matthew 1:18. But the birth of Yahushua, Anointed of Yah, was as follows. After his mother Miriam was engaged to Yosef, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant from the set-apart spirit. And Yosef, her husband, being righteous and not wishing to make a show of her, had in mind to put her away secretly. But while he thought about this, see, a messenger of Yah appeared to him in a dream, saying, Yusuf, son of David, do not be afraid to take Miriam as your wife, for that which is in her was brought forth from the set-apart spirit. And she shall give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Footnote, this is the meaning of the Hebrew of this name. In other words, Yeshua means Yah is salvation. And all of this came to be in order to fulfill what was spoken by Yah through the prophet, saying, see, an Almada, a virgin, shall conceive, and she shall give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates mean El with us. According to the Shem Tov Hebrew text, see also the explanatory note made. And Yosef, waking from his sleep, did as the messenger of Yah commanded him and took his wife. But he knew her not until she gave birth to her son, the firstborn, and he called his name Yahushua. Verses were taken from the scriptures by the Institute of Scripture Research, www.isr-messianic.org. Note that the genealogy above closely follows the Nevim, confirming that Yeshua was the fulfillment of the prophetic words regarding the coming of Anointed One, Mosiah. Folks, it's so important to understand that Yeshua was and is a fulfillment of everything that the Jewish people were expecting 2,000 years ago. It just got all messed up and confused. We'll continue with this next week. I'd like to close by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I said earlier, and it bears repeating, the only reason this universe exists, the only reason the solar system exists, the reason this planet exists, the reason you and I exist, it's because the Almighty Creator was lonely and He wanted friends. If you are not earnestly seeking to become a friend of the Creator, you are missing the whole point of your existence here on earth. You will get such a nasty shock when you die, when basically you discover that your entire life was a waste of time. He will meet you where you are. Cry out to Him. Father Yah, I ask you to meet me here today. I ask you to help me to become your friend. James says I can become your friend. I want to become your friend. You can do it right now. So some key documents and a video on the main menu of the website. Video, Why Seek Relationship? Articles, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, the Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, the Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, the Essence of My Message to Christians, Jews, Muslims, and Other Faiths and Unbelievers, all available at www.endtimemissionministries.org. That's endtimemissionministries1word.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website and the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. It's relationshipwithcreatorradio1word.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimemissionministries.org. to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you are looking for. There's a huge amount of information on the website, folks. Answers probably to a lot of your questions, about 2,500 articles in the article database, over 1,000 web pages. So I encourage you to go to that website and look for whatever you're looking for, or email me. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, short or tall, thin or fat. It doesn't matter whether you're a Satanist, a Jew, a Muslim, a Christian, a Buddhist, a yogi, a Baha'i, whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're English or German or French or Hindi or Spanish or whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian or Jewish or Muslim or Satanist or whatever. Father wants you to become his friend. You can start work on that right now. Simply pray, Father, James says I can become your friend. I choose to become your friend. Help me to become my friend, your friend. Lead me, guide me, help me. You can pray in detail, in depth. I hope that if you are Jewish, I have given you something serious to think about. I hope that you're seriously considering what I'm saying. As a Jew, particularly if you're an Orthodox, committed Jewish person, you've spent a lot of time studying Torah, studying the other major works. You've also spent a lot of your time in the synagogue. You've spent a lot of your time listening to the rabbi. You've also spent time debating with your peers and teachers. And at some level, I think that you have been aware of the fact that there was something missing in everything that you were doing. I'm not wanting to take away from your religious context. I'm looking to add to it. I'm looking to say to you, this is an opportunity to course correct. This is an opportunity to put the minutiae to one side and come to Father Yah and say, Father, I want a deep relationship with you. James says, you'll meet me where I am. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to get there. Help me to read what I need to read, pray what I need to pray, bring people into my life, take people out of my life. Help me to get there. I want to become your friend. Amen. Father, I